Matt to Ben, thanks so much for coming to North State Public Radio.
Thank you for having us, Nolan. Really appreciate it. And thanks for having us at the show last night, too. It's
much appreciated. Yeah, my pleasure. It was really cool to get to see you guys live for the first time last night. My first question is kind of asking just about how this band came together. What's sort of the origin story of the project?
Yeah, well, so we've all been playing music, you know, most of our lives. I guess even stepping back further, me, Gakwa, and Nathan, we all grew up in San Diego. Me and Nathan actually went to the same high school. Gakwa I knew through mutual friends in San Diego. And then when we both moved up to SF a couple years ago, me and Gakwa ended up hanging out. We got together, started writing some music. And then about a year ago, got together with Nathan. And we've kind of all, you know, been writing, at least for myself. You know, I've always been writing. I've played in bands. And I just needed my next outlet, you know, and this is kind of my first project where it's like, all right, this is, you know, it's us writing our own songs and, you know, playing with our own vision as opposed to kind of me playing for someone else, I guess. So, that's, I guess, the quick and short of it. You guys want to add anything to that?
No, that's a great retelling of our origin.
Just wanted to sum it up well.
Amir, you and Gakwa both share kind of songwriting credits for the songs.
Yeah, man. So you know, it's interesting. So it'll kind of start with an idea from Amir or him, and kind of go from there. You know, there's no really set way. It's you know, anything from, you know, I'll have part A and part C, and then he'll have this part B. Like, you know, that wasn't initially related, and then we kind of Lego brick together and we're like, oh shoot, that actually works. Or you know, something as organic as we're on the practice space and we kind of start in one riff and we jam and keep going from there. So you know, it's a mix of both, but it's cool. You know, I think we do a good job of I think each song represents each of us in its own way, and each of our parts do a good job of representing us but also gluing together in a cohesive fashion. So gotcha.
Yeah, I think that for the most part, Amir has riffs and ideas that he comes to practice with or comes to me with, and I feel like I have maybe more of a producer role while I help arrange the things that he's brought, because he'll have like 30 riffs that are all in the same key and have a similar feel.
I have a problem where you know, have an idea for a song and a riff, and then I'll just kind of like loop it or like just like keep playing on it and have like 50 variations. And then I'm like, well, let's make this 8-minute song that doesn't repeat at all. I'm like, keep going. And then we just have to reel it in, kind of like sculpt more of a vision out of the granite that is that block.
But, cut it down into
a harness is creativity.
Yeah. I also want to add to like these just, you know, it's, I can throw any riff at these guys, and I haven't played with anybody else that can immediately just come up with awesome shit, like right off the bat. Like Gakwa, I can bring him a riff, and in like 5 minutes, there's just an amazing bass riff under it. Same with Nathan, we'll come to him with something, and it's just like, wow, that's exactly what needed to be under that, and it sounds awesome.
And how did everyone meet? I know that Nathan and Amir are friends from like a long time ago.
Yeah, so you know, we went to high school together, we were in the same grade, we had some classes together, and you know, I moved to San Francisco in 2010 to go to school at USF, and Nathan moved up in 2011 to go to San Francisco State, and we didn't really hang out or connect then, but basically, I think 2016, winter of 2016.
I think it was after we were all out of school.
Yeah,
so had time to sit down and flesh out some tunes.
Exactly. We were a band for actually about a year with a different drummer, and then we parted ways. He joined his old band and moved to Portland, actually, so then we, you know, we're like, shoot, we're out of a drummer. What are we going to do? You know, it's almost impossible to find a drummer, and then it's hard to find a good drummer even, you know.
Well,
so
we tricked Nathan. We invited him for a beer and just to jam, and then as we were jamming, I think he came to realize that we had already written a bunch of songs. He was down, so it was great.
I'd sent him a message on Facebook, and I was like, hey, man, like, you know, we'd always been meaning to jam up here, and I was like, you know, I haven't talked to you in 5 years. It'd be great to reconnect, like, hang out and perhaps jam. And he's like, yeah, sure. And I was like, to Gakwa, I was like, all right, I don't want to, like, give it away. I don't want to be like, hey, join our band straight up, right? I just want to ease it. You know, I felt like I was, like, messaging, like, a girl to go on a date. I was like, let's just take it easy. It's slow. It's all good, you know, cool. And then like he said, we met him for a beer, and then at the end, after we jammed, when he couldn't, we like locked the door in the practice room. We're like, all right, you have to join our band.
This is the first time I'm hearing that.
I know. We've been keeping it under wraps. So, yeah, so it was great. You know, it was great to like have that. And then, you know, in high school, you know, Nathan was always like one of the best drummers at the school, and it's, you know, just, you know, it was always a pleasure to watch him play. So it was, I feel extremely lucky to be playing with him and both Gakwa. And then as far as, you know, how me and Gakwa met, It was so again, we knew each other a bit in San Diego, but one of our mutual friends, Michael DeLuca, shout out to Mike DeLuca, lived in a house with him in SF, so I'd go over there and hang out, and then yeah, me and Gak would jam and play a little bit, and then eventually we found each other to be musical soulmates. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And so you said you've played in like past bands and kind of been in a supporting role in other bands. Well, when was it that you first decided to like kind of start writing your own songs?
Yeah, well, just speaking for myself, you know, I'd last band that I was in, they're called Advocators of Fun, that I'm in with two of my best friends, Kern Kuehl, Luke Fevery Silverman. We're still kind of a band. We're going to reunite in 2020. But we were, you know, we played all through high school kind of. And then when I moved here for college, I didn't really have a musical outlet or a band. So really, I was honestly just kind of jamming with myself and just stockpiling riffs and like hooks and choruses and random stuff for like almost like 5 years, basically. And then, you know, we me and Gaku didn't really sit down to arrange or songwrite until about October of 2015, I want to say, or so, or maybe earlier, summer.
Yeah,
2015.
I'm not sure. I think we jammed a couple times with random friends with
with
no real purpose.
Yeah,
And then I think after a couple of those, we decided to actually write a song.
Yeah. And then at that point, you know, for both me and him, we both had kind of like either songs we'd written in the past or just like I said, ideas. You know, but you know, another thing too was it was hard for me to, I guess, motivate myself to finish a song or like arrange something because I didn't have the outlet initially. As soon as we started writing, it was that much easier to be like, okay, now I know we have an outlet. We can, you know, I'm more pushed to arrange something or like put you know, a piece together, or, you know, start doing something. And I never sang before either, so that was a learning experience, and it still is in itself. So, yeah.
Nice. And when you first started, like, you know, when you chose to, like, okay, it's time to make up our own original music, like,
yeah,
were there any particular artists that were like, I want to make music like they're making, or, you know, like someone that kind of just inspired you as, you know, another performer that kind of inspired you to, like, you're like, oh, I want to be doing something like that?
Yeah, I'm laughing because I know these guys are going to know what I'm about to say. But, you know, for me, I kind of like my kind of holy trinity of influences, I guess you could say, would be Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, you know, just in both Queens and all of his other projects. I think he's a great example of, you know, not just the music itself is great and the tonality of it and the sound, but just his kind of philosophy to making it and his approach to arranging stuff I've always liked. So Josh Homme, David Bowie, I'm a huge Bowie fan, you know, one of the greatest of all time, in my opinion. For me, you know, just kind of vocally and just like stylistically and across, you know, his kind of 70s albums, I take a big influence from those. And then Elliott Smith, I'm a huge Elliott Smith fan. I think he's amazing. And just his guitar playing, again, his approach to songwriting, his arranging, his vocals, that kind of thing. You know, with him, I think a lot of times people hear that name, they're like, oh, that sad, melancholy dude. And I'm like, man, like he does have that aspect to it, but I think he gets unfortunately written off like that by some people. And I think he's such a good, he's just got so many hooks and he's just got this great voice. So yeah, those three are the biggest for me. So
nice. I actually, speaking of Elliott Smith, I learned yesterday kind of a little piece of Chico trivia. Apparently, an old school Chico musician who used to be in a popular local like punk band called Vomit Launch.
Oh, awesome.
Went on to become a producer and produced a lot of Elliott Smith's music. And I'm totally blanking on the guy's name, but I thought that was really cool, kind of little piece of
pretty fascinating.
Chico culture. Yeah.
Vomit Launch, you say?
Yeah. Okay. That's the name of the band.
Cool.
Chico has a lot of great exports.
Yeah.
And some like not many people know about. I mean, I never knew that Elliott Smith connection until yesterday. So
yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very artistic little community we have here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And And then this next question, it's kind of funny because it's usually kind of somebody set up for more acoustic performers or like songwriters.
Yep.
But how would you describe your ideal songwriting environment?
Well, normally Amir will have an idea. And
alone
I think
in my
that,
bedroom at 3 a.m.
And I think that in the practice space with all three of us, he'll start playing it and see if Nathan or I latch onto something and like start playing along. And then I think if there's something there, then usually Amir and I will meet up separately and like write kind of acoustically or, you know, just with drums on the mind. But, you know, it's hard to, especially in like a paid practice space, you're always focused on time and like making the most of it. So we try to.
Yeah.
So we, you know.
We actually do write, you know, I'd say most of it, that we've written most of our songs and, you know, like we'll come up with ideas, you know, in our rooms by ourselves or whatever. But when I'm bringing something to Gaku, you know, go over to his house and we'll work something out on his acoustic guitar and then his bass. So it's cool. I think it's nice to do that too. It just kind of like, you know, if something plays well acoustically, it'll generally work well electrically at least. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like the song we just played, that one it's like a pretty banging rockin' tune live, but we actually wrote it acoustically initially, and it's cool because it's got this kind of gypsy romp to it acoustically, and it was fun to see that translate to, you know, full band initially, and then now playing it again acoustically. It's interesting to see how that songs can take on different forms, you know.
And how often would you say it happens where, you know, you're jamming in the band room and kind of ideas shake loose, or like a song will suddenly take a new sort of direction because of like what just kind of happens in the moment?
Man, really often.
Almost every time we play, I would say. I mean, these guys bring a lot to the table. It's almost always pre-prepared or like they've done their homework and kind of bring it to
fresh
me
out
to
the oven.
Flesh out with the drums. But it's really fun. The power trio sort of setup allows for a lot of liberties to be taken.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's great to come in with like an idea of what's going to happen, and then, you know, going electric and adding some booming drums definitely like changes how we play it and changes the feel of it. And then I think it's a great, I think every song has changed in a positive way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's really cool because, you know, you have an idea of what a song can be in your head, you know, and you're writing it kind of by yourself and you're imagining like, okay, what this could be X, this could be Y, this could be Z. And it's really cool to see it, I guess, just not even be played by a whole band, but evolve and kind of see what each guy's going to do. And yeah, absolutely. I'd say every song, you know, definitely has a moment or a part in there where it came out when we were jamming or we didn't initially plan it or we just kind of discovered it. You know, a lot of it is kind of discovering and just seeing, you know, what's buried underneath there, you know. Happy accidents, as Bob Ross would say.
Yeah, exactly. I was also wanted to put a thought out there. When I was watching it live last night, like I was kind of thinking Gaku's voice reminded me of, do you ever listen to the Melvins?
Dude, King Buzzo?
Yeah. I was kind of hearing a little bit of that, you know, like it's, I don't hear anyone really singing kind of like even, you know, close to that, but I was hearing a little bit of that in your voice. Is that, am I kind of...
I don't think he's listened to that.
I've never listened to that band.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, people have told me that I sound like other people, and the producer of our EP told
Jeffrey
told
Bird.
Me that, yeah, Jeff Bird told me that I sound like the main guy from Roxy
Brian
Music.
Brian Ferry. And you've in Talking Heads, you've got that too.
And then, yeah.
Kind of that new wave, like post-punky, like.
My dad sent me an artist, some folk artist, the other day and told me I sounded like him. Yeah. I forget his name. I don't know. I guess it doesn't really answer any question.
It's all over the place.
Yeah. On the flip side, I've never had so many people kind of just ask. Like, a guy came up to me after we played. It was at Music City. And it's just like, what is this music? What is this? I can't explain it either.
I ask myself that every time.
And yeah, when he was describing his influences, I think it's interesting because none of those really come through outright, just listening to it.
Yeah.
And I've never been in a band where I was kind of at a loss for words trying to explain the sound in a good way.
I think, last night, actually, a friend of ours was saying that we sound like Herbie Hancock experimenting with math rock or something like that. So,
dude, that's hilarious.
I don't know what that means, but I enjoyed it.
We have had quite the span of genre descriptors.
Angular post-punk guitar rock.
Yes.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a fun one. Angular post-punk guitar rock. I think Angular is pretty apt. It's pretty like...
Yeah.
It's very arranged. It's like, you know, I mean, we can get loose, but it's pretty tight, you know? It's like a tight, specific song structure. It's like, we're not really like a jam. We're not like, let's jam, like, for 10 minutes up here. It's just kind of like... delivered to be these kind of tight pop tunes that are also, you know, musically
have a couple of surprises thrown in there.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah, it's like musically what's what I'm looking for?
Interesting.
Interesting, integrity containing. Yeah. I don't know.
It's got some substance.
I'd like to think so.
You mentioned David Bowie, and I definitely kind of hear like his singing style in your voice, Amir, too. The croony sort of
appreciate that, man.
Yeah, it sounds good. I have three questions left, and one of them's about just kind of being musicians in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And So my question is kind of two part. What's something that you find that you, what do you like about being musicians in San Francisco and the greater Bay Area? And then what's something that you find challenging or that you wish was different about the area?
I actually chose to go to college in San Francisco because I presumed there was a huge bustling music scene there where I would easily find work. And it's like half true, half not, kind of. I think a lot of relationships and connections and gigs are already sort of shooed in, or there's just already somebody, you know, playing there and you're not going to get in. But at the same time, I was almost shocked at how easily we've been embraced by the local bar scene and fans, and there's been a lot of support. And I don't think we could talk about playing in SF without talking about Music City, where we practice every single week. It's about the best possible.
It's great. It's
arrangement.
Yeah. What is Music City?
Music City is they're becoming like a conglomerate. Basically,
it's really cool.
They have a rehearsal space.
A good conglomerate. Yeah. not the evil kind.
They have a rehearsal space with like all equipment set up. You just bring your instrument.
It's in the basement of a hostel. It's like 20 practice rooms in the basement of a hostel.
It looks very unassuming from the outside.
Yeah, and they're building a venue, and they put on shows in their largest practice room, and they foster a great community of musicians. Yeah. We've met so many musicians through there. They've helped us get gigs and
All the guys, you know, friends of most of the guys that work there, they're awesome people. Extremely accommodating, you know, they care about it. You can really see, you know, they're taking the money and investing it back into themselves and the community, and the practice rooms are amazing. They're great. You know, it's I think, a good deal.
Yeah, I think there's been like a backlash of people saying that San Francisco is not friendly towards local musicians because of high rents and all that stuff. And I think that definitely was the case, but Music City is trying to combat that. And I think there is still a scene that is trying to combat that. And I hope we're a part of it.
I think so too. And, you know, and even to, I guess, build on that too, and what Nathan was saying, it's been, you know, we've had the pleasure of playing with a lot of great bands, great people. And, you know, they've all, you know, what is Music City? I don't know what that means really. It's like Music Scene, I guess, like thriving people playing music, or some people think of it as like a specific genre. But, you know, either way, I think we've been, you know, pretty happy about, you know, finding other bands to play with, you know, that are as passionate as we are. And, you know, I think people like going to shows and they have fun, and, you know, we play to crowds and they generally have a good time afterwards. So, yeah, man, I think it is what you make of it. And I think we are having a good time making of it what we can. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, in a minute, I'm going to ask you about the song that you played for us today. But first, I want to ask, and everyone can answer this question individually if they want, but what's the best songwriting tip that you've ever gotten from another songwriter or musician?
Well, I guess I could speak. You know, I get a lot of, I'll point to a Josh Homme quote, and I think he's a very quotable man. one thing he talks about is not getting fixated on the example of the idea musically. So, you know, what that means is, you know, he was relating it to Black Flag. You know, he's talking about growing up the desert and listening to all these punk bands, and he was saying, you know, we didn't want to sound like Black Flag, but we wanted to take the idea of what they were doing, which is kind of being this boundless, weird, artistic rock band. And I think in the same vein, that's kind of how I approach my influences. And you know, I don't want to take literally what they're doing, but I want to take the idea of what they're doing, the approach, you know, to maybe like a song that they're doing or an album. So yeah, I think that just kind of helped me blend together you know, my influences and put it into my songwriting. So yeah.
How about Gaku or Nathan, anything you want to add to that?
I mean, I don't know how much advice I've received about writing songs. Things I've learned is like what Amir just said is like not necessarily trying to, I mean, I have a ton of, like, some of my favorite bands sound nothing like us, and I don't even, like, the bass isn't the main thing that I like in those bands, or, like, I'm not trying to emulate them, but they definitely have put some kind of, like, I don't know, they're the formation of my musical taste. So in that vein, like, trying to... I think, you know, you don't try and sound like anybody, sound like yourself, but then allow yourself to be influenced. And
I think it's important to allow yourself to be influenced. I mean, everything's been done at this point in art, like in every, like movies and TV music. So I think some people can be, I guess if I were to give advice, it'd be don't be too worried about sounding, you know, like it's like, oh my God, this sounds like something else. I think, you know, you'll either develop your own thing eventually or it'll just, you know, you are freaking out about it and it's fine.
And then I feel like I should maybe rephrase this question. So it's like not necessarily the best like songwriting tip you ever got from someone else, but it can be something you discovered on your own too.
Okay.
And this could be just something related to drums for you too.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. It's a little different songwriting wise for the drums. I guess, you know, there's really heavy, fast-paced songs that we play that are really busy, and then there's some slower, almost ballady halftime songs where I'm hardly doing anything at all, or little rim clicks keeping the beat. And I guess I try to focus on cohesion, sort of making everything, not that it has to sound the same, but just linking it all together in a rhythmic manner, which is like difficult and a new challenge for me. Like I was saying before, these guys bring stuff to the table and it's kind of my job to flesh it out, not get in the way of things, or try to build up the parts and make them something that they weren't before, sort of. And so it's kind of cool. We're push each other in that way, I guess. And maybe that's, to bring it full circle, that's the advice I would give, is like if somebody has a part, you don't have to play along. You know, you can add on to the part or make it something that maybe it wasn't before, instead of just trying to jive with it and blend in.
Yeah, I think that's what makes Nathan such a great drummer, is he's serving the song, and serving the song can be adding to it, and it can be just providing a backbone to it. And, you know, I think all of us are not writing our instrumentals or our vocal lines or whatever to impress with that individual part. It's to like make the song as a whole a cool thing. So
yeah, and I think it's cool because I think we all have a good sense of restraint, and we know when to push on that and kind of push the barrier and the boundary. And I think because of that, when we do push and kind of go for it, it's that much more powerful. I think we appreciate dynamic a lot, and I love dynamics. And I think that's important to have that kind of tension and release. I think that makes for good songwriting. So, yeah.
Restraint is that's a good term.
Yeah, yeah. I keep them on a leash in practice. And string them up.
That's a good songwriting tip.
Yeah, man.
The last question is about the song that we're playing today in the studio. Which song are you playing, and what can you tell us about it?
All righty. Well, the song is called Palace of Pleasure. And, you know, actually, this is the first song me and Gakko ever wrote. I came to him, and I had these individual parts. I hadn't arranged it. You know, I had the guitar riffs for the verse and the chorus and the bridge. And
the whole song,
as a matter of fact, as it is known. And so I came to him, and first time we ever like we're like, okay, let's do a band, let's write some songs. And I came over to his house, and it was cool. And we had this idea for bass. You know, there's that Beach Boys song, Good Vibrations, right? And the bass in the beginning is kind of doing this lead thing, right? It's like ba bum bum ba dum bum ba da 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 da. And I specifically, I was like, you know, it would be really cool to do that for an intro of a song, and I think it would suit this song. And, you know, the guitar in the beginning is kind of doing this rhythm, kind of like gypsy, like shiny high thing. And the bass comes in, it's this really cool, like, you know, lead-esque thing. And it's cool. After the song kicks in, I think this kind of great baton handoff between each of the band members, between like who's doing rhythm and lead. I guess we boil it down pretty simply, you know, during the verse, it's Gaku's is kind of like this kind of bouncy, like Paul McCartney, just simple bump, 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 bump. And then the guitar is kind of playing lead and rhythm at the same time. And then it switches back and forth, you know? So yeah, it's one of my favorites. And, I guess lyrically, you know, it's more, I guess of an imagery thing, and just kind of evoking a feeling, you know, this kind of like bouncy, jumbly, like royal thing. I pictured this like kind of Russian looking like a palace thingy, like sitting atop a crumbly mountain, and this kind of crooked gypsy feeling, and maybe this like gypsy rickshaw like wobbling back and forth as it climbs up. That's at least the vibe I get from it. Yeah. From the guitar.
It's so. Putin's secret vacation home.
Yes. Hey, Vladimir Putin, if you're listening, this could be your theme song.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Nice. Anything else you guys want to add about the song, Nathan or Gakko?
Oh, I'm stepping out for this one. This is actually one of the most, in my opinion, one of the most ripping live songs on the drums, but I'm excited to hear it done in this acoustic gypsy fashion. Man. I have yet to hear it.
There's a weird time signature in the verse. Yeah. It's like a set of like It does like one set of 4/4 and then like 3 3/4s and then 1 4/4. So I'm no math major, but someone can figure that out on the internet land.
All right. Well, Meant to Ben, thanks so much for coming to North State Public Radio today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Absolute pleasure, Nolan. Thank you.